Harvest of Hope podcast with your co-hosts, Kim Stanley and Martha Wilson. Who couldn't use a little hope, encouragement, and inspiration? Tune in every week as we share heart-to-heart conversation with other hope seekers. Join us at the table for real talk that will meet you right where you are. So go ahead, press pause on worry, overwhelm, and crazy, and breathe in God of Hope. Hi, friends. Welcome to episode 21 of A Burst of Hope. We're so glad you're with us today. And today I'm so excited to have my friend Susan Hanley. She's actually at my house today. I'm so glad you're here, Susan. I've known Susan for a few years. We are in the same women's Bible study group together, Touching Hearts. That's how we met. But Susan is an amazing singer. She has her own gospel music ministry as well as a women's speaker, and she's very busy with that. But she's also a wife and a mom and a nana to grandkids. We love the grandparents' names here, so we always talk about that. So I have known you, Susan, and watched how God has just done amazing things in your life and how you are so full of passion and love for Jesus and people. And I know that God has done a lot of restoration in your life. That's a lot of your story. And I was just wondering, would you like to talk about some of those stories today with us?
I would love to.
That would be great.
I'll start with my marriage, first of all. God really restored my marriage through Touching Hearts. I didn't realize, Kim, when you think back of my life, and I didn't grow up in the best of home life. All I saw was a lot of, discord and dysfunction, if I could say that. Now, I had great, my dad was great, and I had family members who were great, but there were some that were not so great. Mm-hmm. So the dysfunction was a lot of relationship issues, just divorce was very prevalent in my home, in my family. And so when I got married, I didn't really know how to make a marriage work. I didn't really know what consisted of a healthy marriage. And so when my husband and I got married, we had both been through some relationship issues. And we were going through a hard time and just leaning toward divorce. Mm. And I started coming to Touching Hearts. And we did there was a class that was offered called Restoring Your Heart that dear friend of mine, who I love so much, Sherry Whitman, facilitated. Yes,
she's great.
And it's funny because when I first met Sherry, and I told Sherry this, I really didn't like Sherry. She had a very, bold, dominant personality, loud, and it just kind of scared me. But Sherry ended up being the sweetest, kindest, just most precious. That's why they say never judge a book by its cover. Yes. Yeah. Get to know people. Because God used Sherry to save a lot of us in that room that day. But God, had to take us back to a place of root cause issues, because everything starts with a root cause. Right. And we had to dig deep down inside of ourselves as to why we did the things that we did, or what caused this, or, one thing I learned is not to let your past dictate your future. Mm-hmm. And then taking responsibility for yourself and not what somebody did or said, or, and, but God sifted a whole lot out of me. I use the analogy, like your grandmother has that sifter that you pour the flour in and it just sifts.
Yeah.
I felt like God poured everything of me into that sifter. And through him, it was just one day at a time. I think we did like 8 weeks, just completely sifted. I remember calling Sherry one time and saying, I'm not coming back. This is dumb. I don't want to deal. And she told me, if you just hang in here with this, don't quit. Mm-hmm. Just keep coming. So I did. And one thing I learned was I wasn't crazy.
No, you're not.
Well, sometimes as women, we think we are because nobody gets us, or, and, but the biggest thing for that was learning more about God and who he was and his attributes, learning who I was in Christ. And learning how to truly, truly walk with God. And one of the things was learning to love people through God's eyes. Because in our fleshly bodies, you know, it's hard to love when we're angry and bitter and upset. You know, and then we have all this just hatred and discord in ourselves. But through forgiveness and through doing that, God taught me, oh my goodness, my husband wasn't so bad after all. You know, it was me. You know, even though I wanted to blame him, you know, because we always want to blame somebody else because we're all perfect, you know. Right. But anyway, God taught me how to love my husband through his eyes and not my own. And through that, my husband and I started back communicating and just sharing a lot. And God restored both of our hearts. He restored our marriage. Amazing. We remarried, restored our family.
That's so wonderful.
Yeah. And so that was probably one of the biggest restoration stories of my life.
That is a big one. So that's incredible. So going through restoring your heart helped you see things in your own life, like you said, and to be able to, like, you had to do some healing in your own heart. Yes. God had to heal your heart. And then you were ready to, like, I loved what you said about loving your husband through God's eyes.
Yes.
That's beautiful. So why do you think that's so important? Like, to do it in that order, you know, how did that?
Because we had to put Jesus first above all. You know, there's an old saying, you can't ride the fence. You can't have one leg over here and one leg over there.
Yeah.
I was just telling somebody the other day that's trying so hard to live for Christ. And she's like, I'm getting it right. I'm getting it right. And I was like, you know, we don't ever have to get it right. We just have to strive daily to walk with God because he wants to, you know, he wants to work in us so that he can do the work, you know, outside of us.
Yes.
And so Jesus first always is very important above all, above your husband, above your children, above, you know, anything.
That's right. Because sometimes we can make idols of those people that we love the most in our lives or the most difficult even. They become, whether it's husband, children, grandchildren. I know in my own life I've had to do that too. I can make what those people and my ministry to them or whatever an idol, like I'm putting them above and want to please them instead of just thinking, what about me and Jesus, right? So I love that it always comes back to that relationship. This vertical relationship with Jesus is what is so important. And out of that, out of the overflow, then we're able to minister, right, to other people.
And it's a learned behavior. You have to experience. And that's what I tell people. Until you experience God, until you experience His goodness, and, you know, that's where we get so much of our peace from, because we've experienced and we know when we go through trials and tribulations, we know we have that hope and that peace in Him that, you know, we're going to be able to get through that.
So you've had a lot of experiences with God of hope, haven't you?
I could probably write a book.
Yes, well, you should write a book. I think you should. Yeah, that's a big deal. I mean, to go through divorce and then a healing and then to be restored with your husband is just a beautiful story. I'm sure there was lots of forgiveness on both that you had to experience as well, right?
It was. We kind of laugh about it now because we both feel like that we could save a lot of marriages if people would just listen. you know, it's a lot of communication. It's a lot of team effort. It's a lot of forgiveness. It's a constant, you know. They always say that love is a feeling, and it is, but it's not a feeling where, you know, we want to say love is not a feeling, it's a choice. I choose to love you. I choose to stay with you. I choose to work through this with you. And if we have to go our separate ways until we can come back in the middle, we choose to stay. I think Billy Graham said it best. It was Ruth Graham in their book. She said, what was the longevity? It was asked, what were the longevity of their marriage? And, Billy said, always stay when you feel like leaving.
Oh, that's
and
good.
I thought that was so profound, because a lot of times we just want to throw in the towel. And
we do.
We think the grass is greener on the other side. And there's an old saying, just water the grass you got,
because
it's not greener on the other side.
That's good, girl. I like that quote. I don't think I've heard that. Water the grass on your own side.
Yeah.
That's so good. Wow. Oh, that's beautiful. So Any other stories where you've, like, any other relationships have been important to you? I know that God has done a beautiful thing in, right?
Yes. Well, you know, I grew up with my dad. My parents divorced at a very early age. And so I always lived with my dad my whole entire life. I remember visiting my mother at times, and I remember getting letters, you know, from my mother. You know, I was told that, you know, my mother had left me in my car seat on the front doorsteps of some family members' houses, and that, you know, I was unwanted and not planned. And so, you know, throughout the years, as God restored my heart, you know, I began reading the Word, of course, you know. And the Bible says to honor your mother and father so that your days will be long. Mm-hmm. And I really pondered on that, Kim. but seriously, through some sickness with my dad, a little over 5 years ago, I lost my dad due to lung cancer. Mm-hmm. That left a big hole, you know. Mm-hmm. And so my mom lived in South Georgia, and she had gotten really sick and was kind of going down. And so I started visiting back with her, and I thought, okay, God, what can I do to honor my mother? You know, there had to be a whole lot of forgiveness there. I had to realize that maybe my mother didn't do things right, but I had to realize that my mother was having her own dealings, if you could say that. I don't know what my mother went through as a child. I don't know her hardships. I don't know her pain, or you know, she had a lot of relationship issues. So I can only imagine that my mother, like myself, was just dealing with a lot of secrets and you know, hurt wounds. So that helped me to forgive my mom. And so I went to her one day, and this is kind of crazy, but remember I said my mother left me on the doorsteps of a family member's house. Well, my mother was on the doorsteps of a family member's house when I went and picked her up to bring her back to South Georgia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So, so God turned that around, and, you know, I was able to bring my mom home for the past few years. And, you know, she fell and broke her hip, and then she fell and re-broke her hip and shattered her femur and had gotten, you know, really down, and we had to put her in assisted living. And then she ended up in a nursing home because of her health and just needing more, you know, 24-hour care. And so, but God restored our relationship. The best years that we had were probably the last 2 years. Wow. And she got liver cancer the last 6 months of her life. We didn't know she had it. And the thing I had prayed the most was that God would not let my mom die alone, you know. And that was my prayer. God, just don't let my mom die alone. So 7 days prior to her passing, she wanted to go back to South Georgia to see her family. So we were able to take her. And we got back, and she passed away 7 days after that. But the Lord allowed me to get there about 30 minutes before she passed away. So I was able to crawl up in the bed with her and sing with her. And she had one tear came down the side of her cheek when I let her know that I was there, that she wasn't alone. So, you know, God's been so, so good, Kim, so faithful. And I honest to God believe it's when I turned my life around, when I surrendered completely and fully to Him, He showed Himself to me. That was a big restoration.
That's beautiful. That is beautiful. Yeah. From your mom leaving you on a doorstep to you getting her from a doorstep, and then giving her a beautiful last few years of her life that you both enjoyed each other. It's amazing. Only God, you know?
Only
God can do something like that. And you had to say yes. You had to be willing to, like you said, it's like we give Jesus one glance and He comes rushing in and just starts doing things that we would never experience if we hadn't done that. Yeah. But you have to be willing to say yes.
Yes.
And turn and surrender.
And I believe with all of my heart, and this is why, even through Touching Hearts, it's so important to get connected, whether it be with a life group or a big group or just some people that you can walk this life with.
Yeah.
Because I can honestly testify to, if it had not been for Nancy Lee pursuing me at church. And this is kind of funny, but Nancy kept asking me to come to this Touching Hearts. And she asked me several times, Kim. It was to the point to where I had said, if this lady asked me to go to this dumb Touching Hearts one more time, I'm going to scream. I would dodge her in the church. And so finally I said yes, just for the sake of her leaving me alone.
Right.
And I came and I never left. And God has used Touching Hearts, the ministry, the teachings, the resources, you know, to just transform not just my life. I've watched him do it to several other lives.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
And so it's important to be connected somewhere.
You are so right. We desperately, I think in these days especially, because we all have our stories, especially as we've all experienced God at Touching Hearts and the fellowship that we have. It's just an amazing gift He's given us. But it's so important wherever anybody is, whoever's listening to this now, for them to be connected to a small group or some place they can do life together with people that are like-minded, right? Because we're not meant to do this alone.
Mm-mm.
Right. So how has, since all of this has happened in your life, where does God have you now? What's something new? What are you doing now that God is blessing you so much?
Well, I started, you know, singing back in 1999, and music has always been an important part of my life, and it's got me through a lot of things. I remember even in church as a little girl, my dad wasn't a church going man, but he always made sure we got to church. Mm-hmm. And I remember going with my grandmother, and I remember holding the hymn book, you know, singing, even though I couldn't read. I remember that. The older I got, the more I learned to listen to the words that I'm singing to, you know, understand the words. And then I'd start singing, then I'd break down, you know, what I was singing. So I really knew when I did sing that I was feeling what I was singing.
Yeah.
So I joined my first gospel group in 1999. It was called Second Coming. We traveled, sang all over the place on a bus. Well, we started out in a camper, and that was really funny. Had the ugly brown carpet, and we thought we were something.
Yeah.
And then Don and Vernon were, you know, through the years, ended up getting a bus. And then, you know, we really thought we were hot and trot then. There's just something about being on a bus. It's just fun. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so much fun. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of laughs and lots of things that go on behind the scenes that, you know, people don't see.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, fast forward, you know, 10, 15 years, I did my first solo project called On a Journey. And prayed every single one of those songs in. Mm-hmm. And although those were someone else's songs, you know, you could still record. Mm-hmm. And that was a blessing. And then recently, I just got out of the studio doing an old hymns project that I'm really excited about.
Oh, I'm excited about that,
too. It's just, you know, songs that take you back, you know, to what we grew up on.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited to get that back.
So. Can you share just a couple of the titles from that
CD? We have
the hymns you're doing?
Will the Circle Be Unbroken? Oh. Amazing Grace. Mm. I'll Fly Away. Mm. There's an old song. I think it's sung by Square Parsons. I sang it at my mom's funeral. I was actually hoping to get this back before my mom passed away because it was a song that I remembered her singing, you know, years ago called Hallelujah Square. And it's, I'll see all my friends in Hallelujah Square. What a wonderful day they'll all have up there. We'll sing and praise Jesus, his glories to share. And there won't be one blind man in Hallelujah Square. I think that's what it is. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, I know that CD is going to be a blessing to so many people. I have heard you sing. I mean, we sing, we worship together on Thursdays, but I've heard you sing in your ministry, and you've got an amazing, beautiful, strong alto voice sing those gospel songs. Like, you have to be gifted to be able to sing those songs. So I appreciate you, and I can't wait till that's finished. And we'll be sure to put a link and how people can get in touch with you in the show notes so they can follow you and keep up with your ministry. There was something that you said when we were talking before we started recording about how you try to, what you think about every day when you get up. I don't know if you remember what you said, but it was something about how you live every day you live every day of life loving God and people. Like, that's kind of your mission statement, if you had
yes,
one, right?
Yes, it is. Like, you know, I said, you know, when God restored my heart, I just knew what He did for me. You know, you hear a lot of people at churches and different places, and I've watched people on stage, and I've heard them say, if God does it for me, I know He'll do it for you. And sometimes we sit there and we think, oh, God's not going to do that for me. You know, I'm too this, or I'm too far gone, or I'm never going to, you know. And then when it happened to me, I thought, oh, mm-hmm. That is real stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, God can change your life.
Yeah.
God can change everything about your life.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, and part of becoming a Christian is you realize it's really true about what you did before. You don't go to the same places. You don't say the same things. You don't carry on the same conversations. You don't. It's just, I live every day and just wanting to encourage people that there's hope in the Lord. Mm. You know, I work at a monogram store, and I use that as my ministry almost, you know, because it's like, I think everybody that walks through the door is coming into my house, you know, and I don't want them to leave the same as they did when they walked in.
That's,
and sometimes people minister to me, you know, they share stories with me, but then I hear a lot of stories of, you know, deaths and family and, you know, kids who've gone astray, and God uses me to just be able to just give a word of encouragement, you know, or a hug even.
Yeah.
You know, so I love people that much, Kim. I tell my husband all the time, I wish that God had just made me rich so I could just go and just give everybody what they need. But, you know, that's one of those things that it doesn't matter what you're going through or what kind of void you feel. As a human, I can't feel your void.
Mm-hmm.
I can't feel the brokenhearted void. That's something only God can do. We're just the mouthpiece to encourage and lift up and walk beside and hold a hand, you know, but God's the only one that can feel a void. You
that's
know.
True. That is true. But you carry Him so beautifully, Susan. And I think that's one of the most, I mean, the greatest things I know about you, like you said, about that story of you working at your office or your store and people coming in and you ministering to them. I know, I see that in my head because I know you, and I know that's what you do. And that's so wonderful. I mean, some people think they have to have a ministry, you know, like they have to sing or preach or, but it's not. It's what we get up and do every day, isn't it? The focus on Jesus and who He's going to bring in our path that day. And it's so exciting, isn't it? And
it
I love your heart for the Lord and for people. I really do. So someone sitting out there listening today might just be in a place where they think, I don't have anything to offer anybody. Yeah. I don't have, like, you know, God did this for you, but what's He doing for me? And I wonder if maybe that person would just, you know, maybe you have something to say to that person that's listening today, that's sitting in that kind of place.
I would say, first of all, just wherever you are right now, just begin to pray. And even if you've never prayed before, just all you have to do is say, God, you know, show me where it is You would have me to go. God, put people in my path that can direct me. You know, God, show me where it is that You would, you know, have me to go and get connected, whether it be a church or life group or women's group. Or I would just really encourage you to know that, you know, God is love, and He loves you right where you are. You know, you don't have to be in the most high places. You know, you just have to surrender your heart and know that there is a God that loves you and wants the best for you. And I would really just encourage them just to pray right where they are.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. I'm so thankful that you are here today. And I just look forward to not just your CD, but I look forward to you and I just, we talked about this, maybe singing together one day.
That's supposed to be a secret, Kim.
I know. Okay, well, shh, don't tell everybody. Yeah, I just blew the secret. But we're not going to tell them when.
Love it. Yes,
it'll
that's
still
right.
be a surprise.
It'll be a surprise.
But I look forward to that. And then just growing, you know, I love that verse. The Bible says, grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus.
Yes.
And I see us getting to do that together. I'm grateful that we get to do life together. In some ways, and I just, again, love your heart, and
thank
I love
you.
That you shared your stories of restoration. Those are huge,
yes.
And I know bring a lot of hope to our friends that are listening today. So I just want to bless you, and I want to bless the people that are listening today, and I hope you'll share this with your friends. Follow our podcast so that you can share these stories of hope with your friends. So thank you, Susan.
Thank you
for being with us today. And I know everybody's probably wondering, where is Martha? And I forgot to mention that at the top of the show, but Martha's a little under the weather today. Mm-hmm. So she will be with us next time, but she is sending her love and prayers.
We miss you, Martha.
Yeah, we miss you, Martha. But thanks for joining us today. Have a great day. And remember that God is our hope in every situation. Join us next time.
Friends, thank you for joining us today for A Burst of Hope. Until next week, go ahead, receive His overflowing hope.